Evan, welcome to Guilds of the North, your one-stop shop for Guild Ball news in the Great White North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here once again this week with my co-host, B. Steve.
Hello, Paul.
And Antoine.
Oh, yeah.
What? No adjective for Antoine?
No, no.
Not for
when you're that sexy, you don't need adjectives. Antoine is bringing sexy back. How's it going, guys?
Very good.
Okay, doing okay.
Antoine, you survived the flood?
Yep.
It's because you want to start playing Navigators.
Yeah, sure.
Or maybe it was to like the harbinger of the arrival of Yukai. We have a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Yeah, that was like almost a segue. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Big changes in the world of Guild Ball. Or maybe lots of small changes is a better way to put it. I don't know how much of this we're going to get through because it's crazy. I think what we're going to do is follow Steve's plan, which we're going to talk about the new captains. Because in case you haven't heard, and by now I'm sure you have heard, there are 4 new captains in Guild Ball. I'm going to shake up the meta. And then there's a bunch of errata. Now, the errata is long, and we're not going to go over everything. So we thought maybe we'd just talk about the things that affect our guilds. So in my case, that's Union and Fish. Steve, I guess that's going to be everything. And Antoine will be Butchers.
Well, not that much. It's going to be...
No, I guess we'll just do Hunters and Morticians.
Well, I want to talk... No, not Navs, but Falconers and Rats as well. They got some nice changes to them.
Yeah, well, let's face it. Falconers needed something. And Rats, too.
And I don't think it's enough, but we'll get on that later, I guess.
Well, unless they gave him another game plan aside from load up Divana and hope she kills someone. But anyway, I digress. Let's get this show on the road. So, and first up, according to this nice document that Steve has typed up for us to follow, cards for the captains. All right. Steve, being the man he is and liking to throw us a curveball, he's printed this sheet out in
Japanese
reverse, upside down order. Yeah. Reverse Japanese order. Because Steve likes to get us guessing. So we're going to do this in the, I think it was the blog post order, correct, Steve?
Yeah, the video reveal, because they've been teasing for 3 weeks. So the first week we saw the name of each captain with the reveal video. The week after, in the same order, we saw a fluff blurb and the backstory, a bit of the each captain. And finally, this week, we got reveal video. They call them Captain Spotlight. They've been doing that for now. And they did... Windfinder was done in that style of video. So they present a bit of the playstyle, the miniature on the pitch, and a bit of showing the cards, but not everything, just to tease people up. But we, as a media group, we have the full card for all the captains, so we can talk about them today. Actually, Morn card was kind of spoiled by some French translator ahead of time, but the other were not.
Right, that caused a whole big uproar in the media group, right?
Yeah, well, trying to know who...
Well, it's because Steamforge has told us in the past that if leaks happen, they'll just cut the whole media group out and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah.
So, I get why people are protective, and well, they should be.
So, the first one is the scary little girl, Morn.
Yeah, the girl from the ring playing Guild Ball.
Yeah, exactly. Who had a big candle. So, her stats are pretty below the curve. She's normal move, like she's 6-8 move. Only attack of 3, 2-6 kick, defense 5. And her influence stat is interesting. She's 4-4 influence, so that's...
It's like, what if Siren became a captain? That's what this makes me think of.
She has a playbook of crap. I mean, well, she has a dodge and a double dodge. So at least she got some counterattack if she gets stuck in melee or something.
She could be a fish.
Yeah. No, she couldn't because she has momentous damage.
Oh, that's true. That's true. she also only has a 1-inch melee zone. She wouldn't cut it.
She has three character play. First one is called Malice. And it gives a friendly... what?
Malice, Steve.
No, it's French. Malice.
Okay. Malice. Yeah, okay. Continue, please.
So it's cost one range of six, only once per turn, unfortunately, but fortunately for the game. And it gives a target-friendly model plus two attack. The other character trait she has, it's called Hallowed. And it gives the friendly model empathy. So same thing as Pelage and Window. So you don't generate momentum if you hit her with damage. But you will still generate momentum from like momentous dodge or push dodge. So only damage.
You say her, but it actually could be anyone, right? It's anyone within 4 inches that can target.
Yeah. It's a target friendly model.
Yeah.
And the other one is Quick Time, which we all know what it does because it's
2-inch dodge. Yeah. It's Vet Rage.
Yeah, exactly. And she's quite fragile, though. So only 14 hit point for a Def 5 model. It's a bit below other captain, but she's so tiny. So probably that's why. So the front of the card is interesting, but it's the back of the card that's really interesting on her. So the last one on the card is Rising Anger. I'll mention it because we all know what it does. So if you hit the girl, she gets angry and you gain two momentum. But her ability is, I'll talk about the other one. It's Faded. It's once per turn, you get rerolls. So basically you get rerolls for either an attack, a kick, or a character play.
Within a 6-inch aura.
Within the aura of 6 inches of her. And it's any number of dice. So, like if you want to, she doesn't need to activate to give that because it's a active ability. So that's pretty nice. Like Silence, if you want to be sure to get that tuck or shut up, I mean, you can activate him first and then use the aura if you fail. But I mean, it's at any time. So it doesn't, it's unlike, like Meditation for Bonesaw or Confidence from Obelus, which is the next time you use an attack or character play. This one is anyone, so you really it's flexible when you need it. So if you fluff your charge or you fluff an attack, you can decide to use it. But if you
is this once? Sorry, Sam.
Yeah, it's only once per turn.
Per model, or
no, once per turn. Are for the sure? team. Don't try to be a 40k player, Paul. Don't be that guy.
I'm just curious. No, I'm curious because I'm not reading it.
It's not once per turn per model. It's one per turn per guild. For the guild.
Okay. Sorry, continue.
Yeah. And the most interesting and... Well, I'm not going to say game changer, but the... new mechanic it introduces in the game. It's called Grave Candle. So it's a 6-inch aura, sorry. And when a friendly model within this aura is reduced to 0 HP, so before getting taken out, you can decide to recover health up to his recovery level, but you still get the 2 VP. So that's pretty awesome. Because you can always allocate influence to model, and if they die, well, they don't die. So you'll never lose an activation.
They can still die.
Well, you'll give up the points, but I mean, you won't lose the activation, you won't lose the influence.
And what happens when they die a second time?
You give the point again.
Yeah, so it depends which faction you're facing and what's engaging her. It's not always a good idea to do it.
No, but... like against Butcher, obviously, I wouldn't use that.
Unless or full stack Vet Rage or.
Well, depending. Like, because remember, she has Hallowed, so she can give empathy to a model. So if that model's if he gets hits and doesn't get the other player doesn't get momentum, I mean, it's half as bad, like to give 2 VP.
Right, but then if you give two more VP when they die the second time, then you've given up four VP and you've really not gained anything.
Yeah, but odds are depending on how much health the model had before he was starting to be hit, he won't die again.
It depends because the model doesn't go too taken out, right? So it keeps condition and everything.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so depending on the state and what's around,
I don't think it's
going
to be that hard.
It might be a good idea or it might be a terrible idea depending on how much influence and other models are left around.
Mm. Yeah. But it's a case by case. For Casket, it's going to be interesting because you can decide like not to use the ability. If he has condition, you don't use the ability. Let him reanimate. Then he goes up to 3. Then he dies. Then you go up back to his recovery level. And then you clear the condition.
Is the order your choice from...
Because it's before...
Reanimate?
Reanimate is when he suffers. Instead of when he suffers a taken out, let me check the card to be sure of the wording.
So you might have the choice or you might not.
Well, for Grave Candle, you have the choice to do it or not.
Yeah, but...
We don't want for reanimate.
Oh, it doesn't really matter because you choose if you do with Grave Candle or not. Then if you do it, reanimate doesn't pop up.
Yeah.
And if you don't, because then reanimate ups and you can still use Grave Candle the next time.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's once per turn when this model is reduced to 0 HP before suffering the taken out condition, it may recover 3 HP and remove all condition.
So you can choose reanimate instead.
So it's the same trigger. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a... So you reanimate, lose your condition, get back to 3, and if he dies again, you go back to his recovery level.
Yeah, and anyway, you probably want to do reanimate first.
To clear condition.
To clear condition and not give out the VPs.
Yeah, exactly.
So that way you have a double reanimate.
Yeah, and models, mostly you'll try to put like Ghast in for us in front as well to be a shield to protect her and like stay in front and beat the other team. So he's still, his recovery level is at 10 or 11, so, I mean, even if he dies, you need to hit him a lot, so probably the same model who killed him won't be able to do it again, unless it's Boiler on Legendary Turn of Ox or something like that.
Or one of the other models in this list that we're going to talk about.
Exactly. But apart from that, I mean...
A lot of the Butchers could do it with the right buffs, not just Boiler.
But she's pretty interesting. I mean, she's bringing a new mechanic to the Mortician Guild. It's kind of another kind of control as well. But the thing is, for my part, both of the captain we have right now for Mortician are really good. I mean, Scalpel is so awesome, and Obelisk is really a good piece against some matchup again. So I don't know if I would be willing to remove Obelisk from my lineup to put her instead and keep Scalpel, because even after the nerf, I find she's really good. Or would I remove Scalpel to get her and Obelisk? I'm not sure. It's going to be hard because for her to be effective, I feel you have to do more of a grind than beat down Mortician team. Let's face it, Mortician are not the artist hitter in the game.
They're not great at that style of play, right?
So even with +2 tack and the once per turn reroll, I mean, Ghast's biggest damage is 4, so it's not that great to do takeout. Maybe 5 if you put if you decide to do with original Grave and put Tolda, but I mean, they're not that great at dealing damage, so. She's a really great support piece and interesting with interesting mechanic, but I've yet to try her, so I don't really know which matchup I would put her in. So
I think that team will come out for the 4 captains. Is it will allow player to choose depending on what play style they want, and I don't think they really replace any specific model. Except maybe Yukai, but...
Yeah, that's what I was going to do, a segue as well. I was going to say, except for the next model we're going to talk, right, Paul?
Yeah, sure. let's go into the Yukai.
Or, as we call it, Rip Shark.
I don't know. I can still see myself playing Shark in some instances. But anyway, let's talk about Yukai. So, Yukai... pretty fisherman stat. 2-inch melee, 6-8 move, 5 tack, 4-6 kick, so a bit shorter kick than Shark. So, and it's also slower than Shark, kind of. Defense 5, no armor, 4-6 influence. So, nothing out of the ordinary there. Playbook, again, looks like a fisherman playbook. Momentous tackle on 1. Momentous guild ball result on 2. And that is interesting, because that can trigger, or that does trigger, I should say, Swirling Waters, which is a new ability. I don't think we've ever seen that before, have we?
Nope.
So it's basically acrobatics that you can target another model with within 6 inches. So you can force you can have a model make a 2-inch dodge within 6 inches.
And it's much better than QuickTime, because you can decide to cast it for 1 influence, and it's range 6 inches compared to QuickTime, which is a 2-inch dodge to a model
for
2 influence and only 4-inch range. So
yeah. Yeah, no, it's much better than QuickTime.
And QuickTime is once per turn, and Swirling Water is not, so it's pretty amazing ability.
Yes. Well, it's once per turn per model.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying it's not amazing, but yeah. Aside from that, non-momentous 2 damage on 3, and then a momentous double dodge on 4, and a knockdown or 3 damage on 5. So, pretty... Well, fish playbook.
Knockdown is interesting, though, so...
Well, it's on 5.
Yeah, I know, but if you don't play Kraken or Jack, it gives you the option to...
On a 5-tack model, on 5... I suppose on a charge with some crowd outs...
Yeah, but anyway, odds are...
A prone model wearing a blindfold who's bound and gagged? Sure, okay.
But odds are this model won't be in any combat, so...
That's right. Not going for the knockdown anyway.
Yeah.
Next you have, for 2 influence cost, 6-inch range, once per turn, you have Break the Surface. Target enemy model or free ball within range. Place the target model or free ball within 4 inches of its current location. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so, it is.
That just lets you mess with people's positioning. Or it just moves the ball closer to you.
Well, if you try to hide the ball behind some players, you can just move them in front or block charge lane of the enemy as well. I mean,
yeah, you can move their models in front of their own guys.
Yeah, exactly. Lane, like, so it's pretty
or move
amazing.
Their guys behind someone else, so you can't charge all of a sudden. No, it's an amazing ability.
Also, the free ball, when you move it, it does. If you place it next to one of your models, you can pick it up free right there.
Yeah.
Because it's a place. So what's the name of the rule? Snap? Snap to?
Yeah.
So it can snap to a model out of its own activation without doing a pass.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's place, right? So it's 4 inches, but it's place within 4. So it's not fully within, right? No, it's just within.
Yeah.
So it's, actually, it's more than 4 inches on some models.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of vigor base.
Yeah. Like you're, Kraken or something. That's sort of enemy. Boar or whatever is actually more than a 4-inch move.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to keep that in mind. Now, character traits. These are also very interesting. Like, I'm curious to see how this guy's going to play on the field. Last cast catches the most. So, while this model's on the pitch, a friendly model scores a goal. It does not use... Wow, I can't talk today.
You need...
Basically, if a friendly... while this captain's on the pitch, if a friendly model scores a goal but does not use Run the Length, their activation does not immediately end.
Yay!
So that opens up a lot of shenanigans and
stuff.
That's
so good with Fathom and Angel.
And Angel for the linked.
Yeah, Angel is good now.
Because you can see where the ball is before deciding if you do link or not.
That's right.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
So that's gonna be awesome with that combination. Also, we have Beating Wings over Water. Once per turn, during this model's activation, choose another friendly model within 8 inches. The chosen model gains flying. That is complete BS. Like,
that's pretty awesome, right?
I can't even imagine the stupidity that's going to happen with fish players with flying.
Well, Fatam, I mean, she's already so fast and mobile. I mean, if you give her flying on top of that...
There are going to be riots in the streets.
She's going to be hard to stop.
Yeah. And just in case that's still not enough movement for you, we have his legendary play, Cormorant's Calling. Took me a second to pronounce that. Choose another model, choose another unengaged friendly model within 10 inches of this model. Place the chosen model within 10 inches of this model. That is nuts.
So you can move a model 20 inches.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to set up a tap-in? No problem. You want to... Yeah, I can't.
That's going to open up the pitch a lot, I mean.
There's going to be riots in the street from this guy.
Yeah. Cormorant's Calling should have been called Catch Me If You Can, I mean.
Yeah. I say this guy, actually, that's another interesting point. Yukai is sexless, so he's not affected by charm male or charm female. He just is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we say he. We should be saying they, because it's gender neutral. So yeah. They are gender neutral. Yeah. That's something the Steamforge has mentioned that we need to pay attention to.
So, also, I've noticed that they are tagged as coach. As is Morn, not just captain, which is interesting.
And both Morn and Yukai seems better than Vet Honor, who is also a coach.
Yeah, I'm not sure what... I mean, coach has no game effect, right?
It's just just a position like attacking midfielder or winger or stuff, striker or stuff like that. So
I find that interesting that they put it on. I guess they could use that wording later for something else if they wanted to.
Yeah.
All right, so enough of the cheese. Let's go to the meat.
Oh, wow.
Okay,
yeah, I'm impressed. You're doing better than me.
Yeah, well, you know, I try.
You've learned from the best segue master.
That's right.
Our next new captain is a veteran model. So first off, I must be honest, I am not happy with that fact. We already have more veterans than other people that are captains, so it limits play list building, with Ox being also a non-captain model. But outside of that, let's talk about Veteran Boar. So he was a murder machine. He still is a murder machine. His stats are pretty similar to what they were before. He got 1 inch of move, same attack, got one more die and kick, same defense, one more armor. The big difference is his influence. I don't think we've seen that in the game yet. He is 4-2, so he brings more than even himself can use.
Yeah, that's a first.
Just what Butcher's needed.
Yeah, previously he was 1-1. Now it's 4-2, so he can still give 2 to the team and use his max, or even with him keeping rules from before, he could take nothing or just take 1 and still be useful and provide more for the team. His playbook... Yeah, Steve?
But, Antoine, do you realize that with a 2-6 kick, all the ball-playing ability space that opens up for you...
Well, scored with...
I know, you scored against
2-6 model multiple times.
No, but even you scored worse. With Boar as well against me, so that's why I was mentioning it.
So, and I scored with him when he was 1-4, I think.
I'm not sure.
Or maybe... No, he was 1-6, I think. The 1-4 model I scored with was the Union one.
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah. So, well, anyway. His playbook is almost identical. There was some change in the first line with the pushes. They switched columns. And they added a 1 damage and guild boss symbol. Previously, it was just a guild boss symbol. And it moved down to his second column. So there's some shifting, but nothing incredible. The rest stayed. His damage still goes up to 607 column. And it's still really good. Character play style, there's nothing new there. Those are old character plays. He didn't have those. He had contention before. Now he has singled out that triggers from his character plays. So for a +2 attack. And stagger, which also triggers only from the character play, and which gives -1 defense. So him being a murder machine, it's a way for himself to auto buff. Or if he doesn't kill the target or want to spread out buff, he could just attack multiple people, not finish them, and set up the rest of his team.
But also, the Guild Ball play are associated with damage as well, so it will help for his berserk attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, before the 4 damage, Guild Ball play was already there, but his lower one was alone without damage. Now it's 1 damage and character play. So he can, with just his second column, trigger his character plays and still trigger Berserk. So that's a big change. And for the rest of his rules, he still has Berserk. So he gets free attacks when you do damage. He still has Furious, so he charges for free. His 2 new rules, he got Bloodlust, which is a 6-inch aura. What it does is he can pick once per turn. Well, when another model starts his activation within 6 in this aura, he can pay 1 and gain Berserk. So he can pay 1 influence and gain Berserk for the rest of the turn, and he doesn't have to stay in the aura. He just has to start there. So what it does in the end, by paying 1 influence, your other influence might generate more attack.
Might? I mean, it's butchers.
Yeah, but you can still fluff, and there might be a tough hide, depending on who you're facing. So, I say might. Most of the time, it's gonna work, because the 2 damage on most butchers is only on the second column, so it's not that hard to get, and even against brewers. But still. And his last one is legendary play. Chop chop, 6-inch aura. While within this aura, other friendly models gain Furious. So overall, he plays alone. The rest of the, like, except Bloodlust, which another model will benefit every turn. Everything else he does is mostly for himself. So he's gonna kill stuff. Boar previously was able to kill stuff. Now he gets 1 more influence by himself, so he's gonna be killing more, and with triggering his own character plays easily, he's going to be able to set up killing stuff easier. Other change, he got more life, but he lost Life Drinker, so I think that's a fair balance.
Yeah, but also you need to remember that Rose is coming to Butcher, so he has an ability to give +2 inch of move.
That's Cinnamon.
Oh, yeah.
Rose is a charge for 1
miss. Sorry. Yeah. So Cinnamon for plus move. So it's going to be quite fast for that Furious turn if you want to set it up.
Yes, it could. The Cinnamon buff is really is short, though. And I don't know if you really want to bunch up so many models together to be able to be targeted by AoEs or be in the way of a debuff or condition. But she might be able to support 2 other models, and +2 speed is always great, especially on butchers where they're not slow, but they don't have that many ways to gain speed. So that's going to be a meaningful buff. It means she needs to trigger start before, and if you want to do the Furious, then you need to trigger Boar and probably not go ahead forward, because then other model won't be able to use Furious. Mm. So,
well, 6-inch aura is pretty big. I mean, I've seen Ox's aura, and it's pretty nice.
Yeah, and you don't have to stay within it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is cool. You have to start to benefit from it, and then you can go out. So overall, his team is going to be more influence efficient. So they'll be able to do more attack. So in the end, I think it's going to be a big, about the same thing as Ox does. Ox does more damage per attack, or his team does more damage per attack. Boar's team is going to do
more
attacks and generate more momentum, but each attack is going to do less. So we'll see how it goes. The big thing is he brings 2-inch melee, while Ox doesn't, only has one. So adding another 2-inch melee into Butchers might be pretty big.
Well, isn't Boar already 2-inch?
Yeah, but another captain with 2-inch, while the other two are only one. Ox and Fillet are only 1-inch.
So you could have Shank, Vet Boar, and Vet Ox.
With Vet Ox?
And Vet Gutter.
Yeah, you could get a full 2-inch melee except the mascot now.
Yeah, Tenderizer is 2-inch as well.
Yeah.
It's the veteran team. Yeah. Well, no, Vet Brisket doesn't have 2-inch.
Nope.
But you could do a lot of veteran in your team, though.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I said. Butchers have a lot of veterans.
I mean, Vet Boar, Ox, Brisket... and
Gutter.
Well, that's four. That's not too bad.
I have to say, this guy's made me tempted. I'm trying to resist.
Well, technically, the Steamforge said that Fish and Butchers are coming in resin in Q2 of 2019. So,
yeah, I mean, the metals are still available at the distributor.
Yeah.
So, or at least one of the boxes is the Ox boxes.
Okay.
But then I have the Cooks crossover models.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I've already got Tenderizer and what's the other model? It's
Shank.
Tenderizer and Shank, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Vet Gutter, I can probably pick up somewhere. And then Boar. This is only the mascot. Mascot's the problem. Because you can't just find those lying around.
In fact, I think you can. I think they're both available at our local store. Or at least the pig is.
Who wants to play with the pig?
The pig can charge for free. Why not?
I suppose. Fair enough.
And you might... Nah, Boiler is so good you probably want to play with Boiler, but if you don't take Boiler, then getting Princesses the pig is less of...
Yeah.
I think the Princess is still Princess is still better, but without Boiler, I think it's less of a drop to take her to take the pig. So that's about it.
Do you want to do a nice transition there, Paul, or we just go and?
Well,
is this
you can go from meat to hunting for your meat.
That's true. All right, so yeah, we've mangled any hopes of a seamless segue, so let's just go right to Steeljaw. Steeljaw, so this is a Hunter's captain. Steve, why don't you do the honors, since you're a Hunter player?
Yeah, she's 1-inch melee. The look of the character looks out of Mad Max, the look and feel.
Yes,
like
very much.
The remake of Mad Max that was out a couple of years ago. She's move 5-8 with an attack of 5, 3-6 kick, 4-1 defense, and 4-6 influence. So pretty average. 16 in hit point, pretty average as well for those kind of stats for captain. Her playbook is not too bad, but not that impressive as well, with a momentous push on 1 damage as well, or Gil Ball and push dodge on the second column, momentous 2 on 3 knockdown, momentous, and a momentous 3 on the fifth column. So overall, that's not the best playbook around, but that's pretty average playbook. Her character traits, though, are interesting. She has disarm, which removes you 2 attack. And she has weak point as well. So minus 1 armor. So she's really like debuffing you. But the other one that she has is a new one. It's called Bait. It's a pulse. And This model may place two trap markers within this pulse, then choose two enemy models within the pulse, and those models suffer 1-inch push.
That's good. So, especially when you go to the back of her Karn.
So pretty much like she's placing trap and you're springing the trap right now. So you're going to be snared and suffer 1 damage. And she's an expert trapper. So while she's on the pitch, an enemy model that triggers a trap, you choose 1 additional effect. So it's either you suffer a weak point on top of the damage and the snare, or like Jaykar's trap used to be, you get bleed and snare. So that's pretty interesting.
And that's not just her traps. That's all traps.
All the traps.
Field.
And because, like, why not get more traps? While she's on the pitch, she has Bring Them Down. So everybody, every friendly human model gains the ability to drop a trap.
Oh, the bear can put traps.
No, the bear won't be able to put traps. So she's the Oprah of traps. You get a trap, you get a trap, you get a trap. So, but it's only it's only 5 traps on the pitch at the same time though.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like sometime
is there a rule for that, really?
Yeah, well, it's on the guild rules, Karn. There's a max of 5 traps.
Okay.
Just like Harvest Marker, there's a max of 5.
I had no idea. Okay.
But like sometimes, like traps, you place them to try to block lane and stuff like that, but they become irrelevant. That's not a problem for her because once per game, her legendary play allows her to do some perfect positioning. It's a 6-inch pulse, and this model may immediately remove any number of friendly trap models from the pitch. It may then place up to 5 friendly trap markers within this pulse. So you can remove the trap from like all the way the opposite way of the pitch. It doesn't care. It doesn't matter. It's only that the pulse is only mattering for placing the traps. So you can remove 1 trap and place 5 if you want.
Well, that's pretty... you can remove the trap off someone and then place another trap so it reprocs when they activate, right?
No, because if the trap is there, it's already procced. So if somebody was in the
range, but if model hasn't activated yet, right?
Yeah. You can place a trap in front of them. Yeah. If you place a trap and it's not relevant, you can replace it with a new trap more relevant for that model or other model.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. She's really nice for support, but I'm not sure, like, does she replace Teron or Skeeta? Because if you get Skeeta and if you get Steeljaw and Teron, then you're kind of more stuck into a beating lineup and you have less goal scoring unless you decide to go with Ulfur for some odd reason. But I'm not sure she's up there to replace Teron because Teron is so effective with his spin and range damage as well, and he's more a control piece, and she's more of a disturbance piece because she's...
Well, it's control, but it's a different type.
Yeah.
And not as effective, in my opinion. I don't know.
She's going to control more people.
Yeah. Teron.
Right. Well, that's true. With all the conditions she's going to throw on people and stuff, it's going to be obnoxious.
And not just her conditions.
Well, the fact that everyone can drop traps, right? That's the big deal, is that everyone can drop traps. So everyone's going to be snared all the time.
And also, it brings weak point. I mean, so like having a model that's 3-1 or 4-1 going down to 4-0, it's pretty nice because weak point, you cannot clear it because it's not a condition like bleed or snare, so you're stuck with it until the end of turn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty nagging, and the fact that she's more people are placing traps means more people are going to be snared, so it's going to help the bear a bit more. So, because
that's what the bear needed.
Well, he's getting nerf ball, so he needs some help at some point.
So, talking about nerf.
Yeah.
We should switch to that.
Sure. Actually, I believe they're called erratas.
Well, because there's not that many nerf overall.
That's true. So how do we want to approach this, Steve? This is your dog and pony show.
Well, we can talk about the hunters because I've just started to mention it, if you want.
Sure. Sure.
So for the hunters, well, the boombox got toned down.
Yay!
So instead of being, it's still 6 inches range, but instead of being 6 damage, it's now 4 damage, unfortunately. That's kind of bad.
So it's back to the old damage,
but
more range.
More range.
It stays at once per turn now, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's worse than in season 3.
Yeah.
Because in season 3, you could do it once with paying the influence, and then another time with Blessing of the Sunfather, and a third time if you were going for it with Last Light, but nobody did that. But yeah, you could do it twice, but now it's only once. So it's extended that range, but so it's a huge deal for him. Personally, I would have preferred keeping the 6 damage. I know it's obvious, but I would have reduced the range. So instead of having a 6-inch, like toning it down to 4 inches or even 2 inches. I mean, he's shooting you point blank with a shotgun and then it does a lot of damage. But with like only 4 damage... it's less interesting. For 3 influence, I mean, there's still the 4-inch push, but eh.
Do you think Chaska goes back on the shelf, Steve?
Not sure. I'll play it a bit to see. And his playbook got changed as well, because his double push was on the first column, and now it's up to his second column. So his counterattack are a bit less reliable than they were.
Hmm. He might still be a good piece with...
With Steeljaw.
With Steeljaw, because of he got multiple ways to push people. He can place the... Can he place more than one trap?
No, every battle is only once per turn for
placing it's all traps. Once per turn? Okay. Yeah. I thought he could place more than one.
No.
Okay.
So,
but
yeah.
He has the push and even a range push to trigger it. And with the added effects, it might be a good way to do it.
I'll need to play it out to see if it still makes the cut, or I need to switch back and bring some other model or setup piece, like maybe bring not Jakar, but maybe Minerva. So
or Jakar.
I have Arier and the range I spy, so could be another model that was considered a bit over the top. It's the bear. The bear got toned down.
Shockingly.
First off, playbook. Again, a loss of the double push on one. It's now a single push on the first column. And the other change he suffered was the mauling is now on the 5th column instead of the 4th column. Which isn't that bad, but... Because it was really easy to do with an attack of seven was really easy to trigger it on the 4th column, so it's understandable.
He may have been a bit abusive.
Maybe, but it's he still retains the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 damage playbook. So that's not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not all that nerf. I mean, the loss of the double push hurts more than the move of the mauling, I think. But because
I'd agree with that,
it makes him less effective against counterattack. And also, he lost a crucial artery as well.
Yes, sir.
He doesn't on top of it. Yeah. Which is okay. I mean, the change on him is more reasonable, I feel, that the change to Chaska. Another player that got changed is Zerola. So our playbook got changed a bit. She lost her push and her push dodge that she had, and now she's all about dodges. She has a double dodge on two, which is pretty neat. But she lost the character play, sadly. Now she only has chain bolas as a character play. She lost Midnight Offering as a character play.
Well, her and everyone else would have been at Offering, right?
Well, it's a vet M-lock, so both of my team are getting nerfed because of that. So now it's called the Power of Voodoo, and it's the same effect. It's a friendly model, may make a 6-inch, within 6-inch may make a jog, but it's legendary play. So I was playing against Daniel Arsenault last night, and I knew that it was coming, the nerf. So I took Zerola, and every turn I was doing Midnight Offering, even though I didn't need it. I was just doing it.
Just getting out of your system?
Yeah, exactly. Midnight Offering. Just, I won't be able to do that anymore. I'm so sad. At first, I thought, I'll try to, maybe just use it once in the game. And then the first turn, nah, let's go for it. I'll do Midnight Offering because I can. And
just because you can.
And I did some boombox as well, just because I could.
Did he give you strange looks? Like, why are you doing this?
No, because it was all the time. It was almost only the last time it was not really necessary to do the Midnight Offering, but I did it anyway. So it's going to be a big change. Not sure. Well, it's still pretty good, but is it good enough to still bring her up in every six? Time will tell, but I'm not sure she's going to be in my six all the time. In the 12, for sure.
But that's okay, right? No player should be in your six all the time.
Yeah, but my six was pretty much... There was four all the time. Like, since the start of season 4, I had always Chaska, the bear, Vetminx, and Zerola, and I changed mascot and captain depending on the team I was facing. But those four were always there. I mean,
right, and I'm saying maybe that's not a good thing.
Maybe that's why they got
exactly. Maybe that's why they got fixed.
Yeah, it's kind of odd that three of the four players that I'm always using are getting changed. Maybe that's a sign, right?
Because you and everyone else is using those players all the time, right?
Yeah.
It's because they were busted. With a capital B.
No, I prefer to say a bit above the curve.
They were overtuned. Isn't that the overtuned?
Above the curve?
Above the curve. Now, you see, that's why you need to play moderate teams like me.
Yeah, because...
Where there's no changes because my teams were not broken. And required player skill to play. So my two teams, Union and Fish, really didn't see any changes. I guess we'll start with Union. The only thing we got for Union, as far as I can tell, is a word clarification or wording clarification on resilience. Basically, they cleared it up so that it's less confusing, what it stops and what it doesn't. I mean, end result is we were playing it the right way anyway, so it doesn't matter, but it should make it easier for other people to understand and should result in fewer questions about that ability.
You mean the people coming from 40K?
That may be what I said off recording. Yeah, it's like these people air? Should go back to 40K because they're obviously reading more into the rule than they should. And it's the same situation with Fathom for the Navs. People were, I hate to say arguing, but... People are trying to argue that you could essentially bank her dodge and use it later on in the turn.
From her heroic play.
from her roleplay, yeah. Which is ridiculous because you can't do that with any other play, as far as I know. So I don't know why you'd think you could do it with hers. But people will try anything, right, to gain an advantage. So they had to clarify that, too. Yeah, and that is it for Fish. And it's not even technically Fish, it's Navs, but I get to use her sometimes, so we'll call her Fish. And Union. That's it. Antoine, any changes on the Butcher front?
Yeah, there's some wording things. What were they for Butchers?
Tenderizer got word.
No, but that wasn't a wording. Okay, that's okay, okay. A balanced one.
Yeah.
There was one about Veteran Ox.
Oh, for the...
just the trait.
Yeah, the aura for the damage.
Yeah, so it's been just cleared out about what if it's an active trait or not. So nothing major there. Tenderizer did get a balance rework. And not because it didn't work, but because they wanted to get counter charge out of the Butchers because it was too much of a
pain
defensive ability. And they wanted to have something that was more active and direct. So to go also with the rest of the Butchers to fit more.
Wasn't it also being abused to kind of lock players out of doing anything about Ox and stuff?
Yeah, but I don't know if it was that bad. Maybe.
I don't know. I just know that like bots and a couple other people always mentioned it quite often. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't
sure
how often
and that's, being used. That's, that might be a reason why he's been changed. So by removing Nerf Alex that...
bots, yeah.
So they removed... what was the name of the rule? Rushkeeper. So to balance the loss of that rule, they changed some stuff. On the front of his card, they changed his move. So he got 1 point of movement. He's now 5-7. And there was just small tweaks to his playbook. Previously, he had a tackle on 2 and a knockdown on 3. The knockdown has been moved down to 2 to make it easier to proc. And the tackle has been combined with a double push that he had on 2 also. So now his second column is knockdown or tackle double push.
Tackle double push is interesting.
Yeah.
Because you can steal the ball and then force them. If they're 2-inch melee, you can force them to disengage with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
After you've taken the ball from them.
Yeah, and he's the 2-inch melee too, so you could be 4 inches away from him after he tackled the ball.
Well, that's just it, right? Yeah. So, yeah. You know, he hits you, you counter, he tackles the ball from you, and then pushes you out of melee. Like, what do you do?
And being on 2, that's... there's not much you can do. It's going to work, especially if you charge. You won't be able to prevent that. The rest of the front of his card didn't change at all. So, no changes in his character plays, the rest of his stats and playbook are the same. No change to life points. So in the back, I've already mentioned that he lost Rushkeeper. Instead, and he kind of lost Gold Defense. They just rewarded it. They changed the name. So now instead of Gold Defense, it's Outfield Defense. It's the same exact thing, but 6 inches from the goalpost instead of 4. To probably make him more active and more forward. Because he doesn't have the... counter charges now, so that way he's closer to the scrum by still doing the plus one target to the 2 shots. So small change. The other, the real new thing is celebrate this in caps.
Yeah.
Instead of Rushkeeper. So while this model is within 6 inches of a friendly goalpost, when an enemy model scores a goal, this model's controlling player may choose to have the enemy model suffer 4 damage. Just like that. Nothing else. You don't need to hit. It's just there. So if he is within 6 of a goal, of your goal, and a goal is scored, your scorer take 4 damage. Right there.
That's nuts.
So...
That's pretty gross.
That's gross. That also fit with the new change to the Butchers, like with Ox doing automatic damage, When he
it's when super he char- appropriate,
when,
right?
when he activates,
no, it's really the turn gutter
when
like
she charges. So that's the turn model that do automatic damage in the guild. So
yeah, why roll new, dice?
New way
do damage.
Yeah, no dice, more damage. Like it's damage outside of your turn. That's the worst thing. Like exactly. You're taking damage during your activation.
There's nothing to do to counter it. I mean,
no, not just like be
if you're
more
engaging him or yeah. if you're not. No, he's there. You suffer damage. That's
and,
it.
And the big thing is, like before with the Rushkeeper, he needed to reach you if you were further away or if you were engaging. Now it doesn't even need to be on the same side of the goal as you. You could be like 6 inches on the right of the goal. You can be 6 inches on the left of the goal. So that means there's 14 inches between you and you still take an axe to the head for 4 damage.
Bang.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It doesn't need to be in the path. He's just there and you suffer.
That's thematic, so it's okay. Yeah, I like exactly. stuff like that. That's fine.
Yeah, I visualize it more like he points to the guy, and there's a supporter in the field that throws stuff at the guy.
The mob.
Yeah. The Butcher's fan are the not elegant. Happy. So that's their way to make you pay for scoring a goal against their team.
I like it. I like it a lot.
And that's the change for Butchers.
So next, you want to do Mortician, Falconers?
Well, it's catchers? All yours after that. So.
Well, I'll start with Morts because there's not much. There's the Vet Emlock having...
Midnight Offering change.
Yeah, Midnight Offering change. And unlike Zarola, our playbook didn't change. So that's the only change she got. And the other player that was considered strong in the Mortician is Scalpel. And she got less changes than I expected. The only change she got is her heroic play. Now, before it was she could do either Spirit Bomb or Second Wind without spending influence. Now it's only Second Wind without spending influence. So if she wants to do Spirit Bomb, she needs to trigger it from her playbook or pay the 2 influence. So it's just to tone her down a bit, make her less influence efficient, I guess.
Less abusive, yeah.
Yeah, but she still has all the pushes anyway with the damage. So they didn't change. I was thinking they would change Voodoo String because lots of people are aiding that ability, and it's really disturbing the little eye nub. But I mean, I guess they figured out it wasn't that bad. And that's the only change she got. That's not too bad.
So no, she made it off light.
Yeah,
I think most people will say.
Yeah, I was surprised that you got more change than the Butchers did. I thought there was gonna be maybe some rebalance to the Butchers. Not because of how well they do, but how much they're played.
Yeah. Because they're really played more than other guilds.
Yeah.
And one guild that the two other guilds are not played much.
They needed it.
So. Or for in the case of Falconers, I mean, people are tweeting about stats like from week to week with all the stats, like number of game entered on Longshank and everything. And there was a week like Falconers had 34 games, and the week after they had no game at all. So yeah, they needed some change, and they got some. So they got a new guild rule. It's called Bird of a Feather. So if Divana is your captain, Arrier, it costs you one less influence to use an Arrier. So instead of costing 2 for players to do Arrier, it costs you only 1 if you're taking only the minor guild. So it doesn't apply to Minerva or Matagi if they're playing in the Hunter's team. Divana add some reworks on her playbook and abilities, and as well on the back of her card. The Death from Above now is +4 attack instead of +5 attack, sorry, instead of +4. So that's a small help there. And for her playbook, her damage is better because her tackle is lower and it's now momentous, and her 3 damage is now on the 4th column. And so, and the 2 damage is now on the 2nd column instead of being the 3rd. So our damage output is going to be better. And with the +1, and she still has the assist and +1 damage from the mascot Frelsy as well. Yeah, from Frelsy. So it should help. I'm not too sure how much, but I'm going to test and see. And also airmail change, because before it was like she dropped the ball up to 14 inches on the model, but now it's a pass with +0, +6 kicks. So basically she makes a 12-inch pass. So it's not a guarantee that the ball is going to get there, but at least you can still drop the ball. But it means also that since now it's a pass,
you can generate momentum.
You or generate momentum, and you can dodge off that pass as well.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's small changes, but that's probably going to help her a lot.
Small but significant, right?
Yeah, exactly. Frelsy changed as well.
Frelsy. Frelsy. Oh. Jeez, Steve. Frelsy.
The bird. Because bird is the word. He got Hunter's Prey. So as soon as he damaged, he caused Snared instead of having Snared as the first Guild Ball result on his playbook. And his playbook is pretty much the same, I think. Except on the first column, it's now a momentous 1 damage instead of a dodge and the Guild Ball play. So it's kind of easier to snare and set up with the bird. And the other model that got some love in the Falconers is Rondas. His playbook got rework. His damage is better, so his three damage is now on the 3rd column instead of the 4th column. And now, as well as on his last column, he had the 2 damage with Guild Ball play, and now it's 3 damage with Guild Ball play, and he still has the 4 damage non-momentous. So overall, he's going to be more efficient dealing damage, with, and he's 4 influence, so depending if there's an area or not already, he'll be able to do at least some significant damage and be able to do some takeout on his own instead of starting the model and then having Devana to finish it off. So overall, it's a couple of changes, but it's going to help them more with takeouts, which they had problem. But it doesn't solve the fact that it's basically a one-trick pony. Like, they place Arrier, and then Devana move the Arrier, and Devana tries to kill people. So I think it's still the playstyle of the Falconers. And Devana is still fragile, so you don't want to ever engage or anything. So it's going to help, but I'm not sure, like, it's going to have their play rate skyrocket all of a sudden.
Well, I guess in 6 months they can tweak her a little bit more, right?
Yeah, maybe. And the other guild that got some love are the Ratcatchers. And first player is Pelage, so it's going to influence as well the Mortician, because she got some buff on her playbook, and she got more health as well, because now she's health 12. So that's pretty nice, because she has empathy, as we mentioned earlier. So with 12 health, at least it's going to be a bit harder to take her out, and she retained the same ability and everything, and her Momentous 2 damage is now on the second column instead of being on the third column, and she gained a non-Momentous 4 damage on her fifth column, and the Momentous 3 is now on the fourth column. And she still has singled out on the second column, but it's singled out. Well, it's Guild Ball plus Tackle Momentous. So it's at least like she's going to be able to deal more damage with lower result and with Charm Mailed, and even to some extent with the Malice plus 2 attack, she could go to Tack 9. So that's not bad with her playbook. She will be able to wrap a bit and be a more support character, especially with their Cloak of Rats and the Grim Caress. When you end your activation, you suffer the damage. So she might see some more play, and I might consider her a bit more. Piper got some changes a bit. Playbook is now, it's instead of just being a tackle, it's a tackle push on the first column. So at least if you're attacking a model with tough hide, if you get only got one result, well, you'll be able to do something, as before you couldn't do anything. And his legendary is now a 3-inch push instead of a 2-inch push directly towards the chosen goal post. So small stuff, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah. You were talking about Pelage just before, and
yeah,
I see her, like, she was already a pain in Butchers, but taken with Mourn, having two of your models not generate momentum from damage, that's going to be so difficult. Yeah.
And now that she's 12 hit point, I mean, she's going to be harder to one-shot.
She's harder to kill. You don't generate momentum on her. And with the Mourn placing empathy on another of your model, and probably one of the bigger piece, harder to kill one, they can make a no momentum wall somewhere.
And the thing is, before you, as I know, because I've played a couple of games with her against you, like when you end your activation engaging that model, you suffer 3 damage. So you were easily able to kill her, because with only 10 damage, she was out easily. But now, combined with the Grave Candle, she will be there at the end of your activation. So you're going to suffer that 3 damage.
Yep.
So you have to be careful. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think that's why she got more interesting in Morts with Mourn than in Ratcatchers.
I think it's going to depend a lot on the guild you're facing. Like that combo won't matter to Navigators or Fish.
No, for sure. I would never play Mourn into Fish or Navs.
Yeah.
For sure. The other one that got changed is the Rat. Squeak! He now has a legendary play. He's the Rat King. So I don't know who's better, the Burger King or the Rat King, but the Rat. I'm the only one laughing here. It's not encouraging at all.
Sorry.
I find it strange that they called it the Rat King when a Rat King... Isn't a Rat King like a ball of rat all tied together? Which kind of fit Vile Swarm model?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not familiar with rat. Even if I play Rat Catchers. We should have Ben Bergeron here. He's more familiar with rat.
That's true. Exterminator would definitely have input on this.
Yeah, a real life rat catcher. So the Rat King legendary play, basically you choose a free ball within 8 inches of this model and you remove it from the pitch and you do a goal kick. So that's pretty good, because like we see more and more people being aggressive when they do their kickoff and kicking where it's harder, like even if you sprint to get to the ball, and that, like if you sprint and do a kick the ball back space in your line just to protect it or preventing your opponent from getting the ball. Well, with Squeak, he's only 7 with a sprint, but still, I mean, that's 16 inches of range to retrieve the ball once per game. So it can be really useful if the kick scatter is not favorable for you. So it's pretty neat. And I like it.
That's quite good. So
I was playing the rats already. So
for mascot abilities,
like, you know, mascot with a legendary play. That's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's really fun. Well, that's it for my guild. There's other changes to other guilds, like Midas got some love as well.
Stave.
We can talk about Stave just a bit.
Should we?
Because, well, if we want to for Yom to trigger the hashtag Stave Gate, we need to talk about Stave, right? Or not?
Well, we've been going for an hour, but I mean, if you want to quickly Stave changes.
Well, it's just a small thing. His playbook got reworked a bit. He gets more damage, but the biggest change he got is now instead of 1-3, he's 2-3 for influence. So same as Gas from season 3 to season 4. So he might see more play because now he's not
Influence loss.
Yeah, you don't lose influence.
The net loss.
Yeah, you're not penalized for taking him. You're less penalized for taking him, I guess.
It's so funny that they do that. I've never quite understood why they do that in the game. I can see if they're trying to
balance
a model that's extremely powerful or something.
Well,
or
like Cascade, really crazy ability. He still needs to be one. But like, I mean,
Stave
or Boar.
Yeah, well, Boar for obvious reason.
Yeah, but
I wouldn't put Boar 2-2, but he could have been 2-1.
Yeah. So
the other change to Stave is that La Barrel is now 3 inches push.
Oh, right. Yeah. So Stave might see some play. Well, who knows?
Hot takes here. Hot takes.
I guess
we'll have to follow
Mike Klein.
I was going to say Mike Klein at what was that event? Grim Vengeance.
Yeah.
That's what, 2 weeks away?
3 weeks away. 1 month. In 1 month, it's it's the weekend before Adepticon.
It's the week before Adepticon.
Yeah.
So 3 weeks away. Give or take a few days.
So that's pretty much it for the change.
That's it from our point of view, right? There's other changes, like, you know.
And there were some rules
changed, a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, and rules clarification as well, but the blog post will be out there to discuss those.
Yeah, exactly. From you know, the directly affecting our games.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, it's always nice listening to you lecture us on Guild Ball Steve.
Yeah, I need some drink or something because my mouth is dry.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe laugh. At an event recently, someone commented about how they listened to our show, and at first they were hoping to get some, like, cool strategies and stuff, and then they realized that that was not what the show was.
No.
No. We're kind of like The Pitch, but even less tactically sound, so that's saying something.
We're the casual Guild Ball podcast.
That's right. Perfect. Anything else?
Well, Steve? No, but a couple of shout out for events that are coming in the coming or happening locally.
By all means.
Do you want to go with the East Canadian, Antoine?
So the East Canadian National Guild Ball Championship is coming June 1st and 2nd. It's a 64 maximum player event. You can already register on the hosting store, which is called Labis. Either go through their web store, but you might have trouble finding it. You should probably just go to the notes of the show, and there will be a link to the Facebook event and the link for registrations. We need 50 people to get the full price support from Seaforge. We're already around 20 people registered.
Yeah.
And that's still 4 months away, so that's good. It's $40 to register. That includes two lunch and swags, door prize, and everything. So I think that's one of the cheapest nationals out there.
Yep. Yeah, because it's Canadian money.
It's Canadian money, and it includes food.
Yeah,
it is. It's the same price as the West one, but we have two lunch.
That's true.
Yep.
Look at us. Yeah. So, I shouldn't say us. Good. I'm not involved. Look at you guys.
Well, you're involved because you're going to attend this year, and you're going to lend us some mats.
Yeah, well, I lent mats last year too, but yeah. Yeah, I know. And I'll provide some prize support again. Yeah.
I'll so
the coveted tray.
Yeah, version 45 or whatever it is.
Yeah. Speaking of price support, we're gonna start announcing some of it in the coming weeks. So stay updated. We're looking at having similar swag to last year. Last year we gave a free custom ball token. So we're gonna do something similar this year. We had the measuring widgets. We're still looking at something similar to that too, and lots of sponsors and prize, including Mr. Paul right here. So
yep,
that's it. Steve, I'll let you go for the other events.
I'll be running the Taco Bowl 10 on March 10 at the Abyss. So if you want to come and try the changes we just talked about or the new captains, feel free to come. It's $10 and all the money goes in the prize pool back to the player.
So just
it's
a question.
Sunday. Yeah.
Is it max of 10 players?
No, it's 12.
It should have.
What?
Because it's Taco Bowl 10 on March 10th. Oh. It's $10.
Wow, that's clever, Antoine.
Well, I'd be happy if we get 10 people. I mean,
yeah. So. Our meta is in a horrible state of.
Usually we have 4 to 6.
I'm going to say it's undeath because we keep resurrecting it.
And the UTC will be done, so maybe people will be free to come back to Guild Ball. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, come to Taco Bowl and beat my pants off. That's the way it works.
And also, there's a store on the south shore of Montreal, Zakeda, who are starting a Escalation League on Tuesday night. So if you want to either like learn the game or get back to the game, it's a good way to go back or to learn the game, because you start slow and you add one model every week to your team.
Okay. So basically, and what are you at right now?
Well, it was the first week this year. This year.
This week was the first week?
Yeah, but like... It's really casual to try to get people into the game. So it's if there's new people coming in, we'll do demos to show them the rules with 3 players. And then afterwards, they can just grow at their own rhythm. It's not really structure. It's more like on the inspiration of the Escalation League, but it's really more of a, like, get in the game and learn the rules and learn.
Oh, it's okay. So it's like a... It's an Escalation League in spirit.
Yeah, but exactly.
Not necessarily an execution. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Well, because the old back in the day when Guild Ball first started, Escalation League worked a bit. Like, it made more sense because you bought a starter, it had 3 models in it.
Yeah.
And then you bought models individually. So now you're buying whole teams or whole half teams. It seems strange, but it's still a good way to learn.
Well, because
you have more models, it's still a good way to learn the rules for models.
Yeah, exactly. Because
Guild Ball models have a lot of rules.
You start with Captain to Squatty, and then the week after you add the mascot, and after that you have another Squatty, and the game goes up to 8, and then you add another model, and then after that in the 6th week you have 6 models and a game of 12 points. So it's really to help you learn the mechanics. And since you're only adding one model every game you play, you get to learn what your guild does and the synergy with the players and the setup and more on order activation and stuff like that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And that's it for local events.
All right. And I guess that's it for the show.
Yeah, we've been rambling a bit longer than usual, but
that's okay.
We had stuff to cover.
Exactly. Alrighty then. Well, guys, as always, it's been a pleasure, and thanks for listening to this week's Guilds of the North. I will see you guys in future episodes.
See you, Paul.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at prfilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by Ladrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Indie Conquest, a blog helping indie board game designers succeed, providing useful resources from designing games, utilizing Kickstarter, and finally manufacturing and distributing your games. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.